16. John 15. And with your Bibles open, let's again ask for the Lord's help in the ministry of His Word today. Gracious Father, we thank Thee for this hymn we've been able to sing. And Lord, we pray that it would be just the prayer of our heart today. We would know the searching, the searchlight of the Holy Spirit in our own hearts. Lord, come, we pray, and take away every root of pride, every root of bitterness, every root of anger and things in our life that so mar and hinder us from going on with God the way we should. Lord, speak to us today from Thy Word and through the power of the Holy Ghost. Deliver us, we pray, from sermonizing. Deliver the people here from coming just to go through the motions of church and of hearing a sermon. O God, may the fire of heaven descend upon us today. Speak, Lord, with the power of the Holy Ghost. For we confess that we need the Word of the Lord today to our hearts. We ask all these things today in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen. I'm going to draw your attention today to the second verse of this chapter, John 15, and really the second half of the verse. It says, "Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." And the subject I want to talk to you about today is productive Christians. Farmers have always looked for ways to increase their crop yields. Maximizing crop production has become a very advanced science today with the development and manufacture of advanced fertilizers and the state-of-the-art farming equipment and irrigation systems. And then, of course, the controversial genetic modification of the seed, which is supposed to produce more for less. Everyone who is in the growing business expects good return on their investment. It's very interesting to travel through the Niagara fruit belt just before the harvest time to see the apple trees and the peach trees and the cherry trees just loaded with their bounty. And of course, the Niagara region has become very famous for its grape growing. And it's an evidence of the grace and the goodness of God to us, and of His bounty to our land. John 15 contains a parable. And it's a parable about a vine and its branches. Some of them bearing fruit, some of them not bearing fruit. It starts with one of the great I Ams of Christ in John's Gospel, where Jesus likens Himself to the vine. He likens His people to fruit-bearing branches, and He also likens His Father to the husbandman. We have to remember, it is a parable. A parable contains divine teaching. A parable contains a truth and a central theme, and we want to glean that theme from the Word of God this morning. But we have to be careful and not overemphasizing or placing a strained interpretation on the details of the parable. Because when people do that, they end up teaching something that is against the Scripture, that is not part of the Word of God. It's difficult to imagine a closer connection than a branch to a vine, a branch to the trunk of a tree. Because in one sense, the branch is distinctive and different, but in the other sense, it's part of the tree itself. And it draws its very life from the root and from the stalk. The branch draws the water and the sap and the nutrients that it needs to produce leaves and buds and blossoms and then eventually fruit. The grand teaching, the central truth of this parable, is the vital union of the Christian to his Savior. The vital connection that the branch must have to the vine. Because the branch owes its life to the vine. And when the branch is removed from the vine, it is dead immediately. There is no life in that branch. In ourselves, we have no strength. We have no spiritual power. Indeed, we have no life, either physical or spiritual. And you might say, well, even unsaved people have physical life. Friends, you may be here today and you don't know the Lord. You're not saved, but you're living and breathing and moving. But I want to tell you that it is by the very power of God that you breathe the breath that you are breathing now. How do you think your heart is beating this very day? Do you think it is beating by some sort of magical power? Do you think it's beating because there is some energy source within you? Friend, that is the great mystery of what life is. And I'll tell you that life is the very power and energy of God that is given to give you the life you have. And that's in the physical sense. But how much more so in the spiritual sense that the believer who is connected to Jesus Christ, we are in Him, we are drawing our spiritual power, our spiritual life from Him. Being in Christ by faith, we draw a continual supply of His grace to enable and to strengthen us from day to day, to help us. And this is why, my friend, it is called a vital union. Vital because that word means life-giving. Our very existence. The vital union of us to Christ. If we are outside of Christ, we have no faith. We have no salvation. We have no hope. We have no life. We are of all people most miserable. Because if Christ has not raised from the dead, if we do not understand and have the reality of faith living in us as a vital principle of life, of spiritual life, then what's the point of going on? What is the point of this Bible that we have before us? What's the point of gathering here in a church this morning? Friends, because you have come to Christ, those of you who are truly saved, you understand and know that life-giving principle of being connected to Christ. Because all that you are is in and from Him. And unless we understand and know that, we will not be fully aware of all the provision that Christ has given for us. The question is of utmost importance because the absence of the quality of being in Christ and of bearing fruit for Him, the absence of that quality of being fruit-bearing means that you will be taken away. And you'll be taken away by the husbandman, by the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For at the beginning of verse 2, it says very clearly, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now some people might think, well, does that mean that you can be in Christ and then lose your salvation and be one day cast off? That's what I said to begin with. Be careful about details of a parable, because in no way does this scripture teach that you can be at one time in Christ and then another time out of Christ and lose your salvation. A simple study of the Scripture would prove that to be true. But what it does mean is that in the Church of Christ visible, there can be, and there certainly are, false professors. People who have made a profession of faith, but there's no root of the matter in their heart. They have walked an aisle, perhaps. They have put up their hand in a meeting. They have mumbled some words, but they're not truly in Christ. And what will be the identifying factor will be fruit being born in their life. And the Father in heaven is looking for fruit to be born. And friend, you need to examine your own life and heart, because if you do not have fruit evidenced and being born in your life, then you must ask the question, is the root of the matter in my heart? Am I truly, really and vitally connected to Jesus Christ if there is no fruit being born in my life? You'll be taken away. Some people think that it will be by their birth into a Christian family that that brings them into Christ. Or perhaps your baptism when you were a baby, or a baptism when you were a lot older. Maybe it was church membership. There can be any number of things that people think can bring them into Christ. Or maybe it's the fact that you were not born in a Christian family, and you don't have church membership anywhere. But maybe your folks brought you up as just sort of a decent character, a decent family. There was a reasonable upbringing. And you think in yourself, well, I'm not a murderer, I haven't done anything that's really wicked. But yet, friend, if you're not in Christ, then you're not bearing fruit unto God. I would suggest to you that bearing fruit arguably is the only evidence that we have of someone being in Christ. Think about it. You might know in your heart if you are a true believer, but other people looking on your life, the only evidence they have is by seeing how you live, what you are doing, the fruit that is being produced in your life. Indeed, the Lord Jesus said, by their fruit ye shall know them. So what I want to do this morning as we come to this word is to think upon the subject of being a productive Christian, but also if you're not saved, to ask the question, how can I be sure that I am in Christ? That I am able to be born again of His Spirit, to be brought into the Lord Jesus. And the first thing that comes to us here in this text is our primary purpose in life. Our primary purpose. Because verse 2a says, every branch that beareth fruit. And I've already said to you that it's the identifying factor. Fruit-bearing Christians. It's our primary purpose. Indeed, it can be easily shown that we were created with this ultimate purpose by the Lord to both glorify God and to enjoy Him forever in the harmony of a relationship with His Son, and that this glorification of God will be manifested in us bearing fruit unto the Lord. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so that's the very purpose of our creation. It was that we might bring forth good works unto the Lord. You remember the parable of the coins that Jesus spoke of. There were three people that were set out by the Lord of the estate. One of them was given 5 coins, one was given 2, and the other was given 1. As the lord of that estate came back many years later, he asked them to give account of their stewardship. And the one that had five made five more and brought ten unto his master, and he was well pleased with him. And the one that had two brought forth four, but the one that had one buried it. He buried it and he did nothing with it. My friend, that was the one who was condemned by the Lord for his indolence. In that little parable and story, the Lord rewarded the honesty and the integrity of the two, but he condemned the indolence of the third one. You see, our primary purpose, what the Lord is looking for in your life, Christian, is fruit unto him. Are you bearing fruit unto him today? You see, it is the natural outcome that declares our identity. The natural outcome that declares our identity. This natural fruit is the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in the book of Ephesians. The fruit of love and of joy and of peace, of long suffering, of gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness and temperance. The natural outcome that declares our identity is holiness unto the Lord. You see, what we're getting into now is defining what is this fruit unto the Lord. What is it when a Christian is bearing fruit in their life? My friend, it is the fruit of the Spirit that is being born. It is holiness unto the Lord. But now, being made free from sin, Paul says, and become the servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. Fruit unto holiness. And the Lord said in Peter's epistle, be holy as I am holy. And ye that bear the vessels of the Lord, we who are in the work of the Lord, Christians called and to serve Christ, we are to bear the vessels of the Lord and be clean in so doing it. And so holiness and purity and the fruit of the Spirit, these are all things that make up what it is to identify the fruit in the life of the Christian. It is holiness unto the Lord, but it is also a willingness for His will. Young person, are you desiring today the will of God for your life? Are you asking the Lord, what is His purpose for me? The very fact that you submit and humble yourself and you are asking God that question is an evidence of the fruit of the Lord being born in your life. Because that fruit of willingness, saying, Lord, what do you want me to do in my life? That is a great evidence. I wonder, has your life been surrendered unto God? Because willingness for His will and the surrendering of heart and life in its entirety will be a very evident fruit unto holiness. Obedience to His commands. The Lord has said to us to go and to preach the gospel, to be a witness, to be an ambassador. We are commanded to be light in the world and to be salt in the world. We are commanded to show those things which evidence the principle and the precept and the practice of the command of Christ. And then there's humility of mind and heart. What doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Humility of mind, you know, is not trying to be cool. I was talking with a couple of parents this week, and they were asking me, what is it to be cool? They were having some questions and concerns with their son. And I said to them, well, I'm not so sure that you can define it that easily.